The name of my presentation is Libertarian Thought on the College Campus, Fostering the Free Exchange of Ideas, Critical Thinking, and Peaceful Self-Determination. I'm starting off asking the question, is it possible to cultivate libertarian thought on a college campus? And I'm going to argue, yes, it is, but as you've already heard, it's a very, very difficult thing to do. I'm going to talk about classes, curriculum, conferences, research, independent studies, speakers, and also share some funding opportunities with you. So you might not be a sociologist, but you could still apply for this funding. You might not even be in academia, but you can still apply for funding if you're in a church or some sort of other organization. I did want to start out to say that from the very beginning, I was trained where you pick a type of student development theory, and when you're designing curriculum, you base it upon that theory. And so the one that I've been using for 18 years is Dr. Nevitt Sanford's student development theory on challenge and support. And what this theory focuses on is that students must be sufficiently challenged in order to grow intellectually and to grow into mature adults. And I think the university is doing a pretty good job with the support, and maybe we should work a little harder to challenge them, but that comes with a bunch of problems within itself. But I will say, after the students become acclimated to being challenged, they like it. They don't like it at first, but once they get used to it, and I think it's like that with anything we do. Lots of us, we don't like challenges, but once we get through it, we say that, okay, that's great, and we learn from it. So I would encourage my students, if they feel challenged, that it's actually a good thing. So I thought if I'm going to challenge my students, I should come up with a course that teaches about the state. And so about 3 or 4 years ago, I came up with a course called Society and the State, which I think is the right name for the course. And these are the books that we started out with. Now, I have started out with Anatomy of the State as the first book, but I think sometimes that might be a little too strong, too much for them. So now I start with The Road to Serfdom. And the reason I do this in all of my classes, I tend to put the most difficult book in the beginning of the semester when they have a lot of energy and we can dissect each sentence. And then I usually end with a simple contemporary layperson's book. I usually end in this course with Liberty Defined, 50 Essential Issues. And we have a lot of fun with that by Ron Paul. And the next course that I came up with was Economic Sociology. And I was so happy to see the Mises Institute really pushing Hazlitt's book because it's such a great choice. And we've spent 30-35% of the semester on economics in one lesson. Again, I always end with a lay type of book. And I felt that in preparing for the course, the best book on cryptocurrency was the Bitcoin Big Bang. And so that's what we ended with. And I did use Tom Woods' book the first time I taught this, but then after that, I didn't use it the second and third time. But anyway, those are the books that we use for economic sociology. Oh, I do want to say that student interest was very high, and we actually started a cryptocurrency club from it. So it was just a great course. And I will say with the last two courses that I just brought up, that we usually start them as a seminar and kind of pilot test them, and then we go through the big laborious process of the different curriculum committees. So I developed those two courses, and if you've developed courses, you know it's very time consuming. And you're reading 20 or 30 books to prepare for it, and I just, didn't have the time to keep doing that. So what I did was I thought, oh, let me see if I can apply for a grant and I can get a course buyout. And I don't know if you're familiar with that. What happens is if you could bring in funding, I can pay somebody to teach, like an adjunct, a course, and I can use that extra time, that one less course, to develop this course. And that's what I did with Sociology of Conservative Thought. And what was so neat about it, you know, you want to be true to your funders and honest. And as long as I covered the other three areas of conservatism, I was allowed to do an entire unit on libertarianism. So that's where I came up with using Murray Rothbard for New Liberty, which I think is one of the best books on libertarianism. And those are the other books. We did start off with Ayn Rand, The Virtue of Selfishness, and I think that's a great place to start, especially for students who don't know anything about libertarianism. So I was happy to do that, and I thought, oh, maybe I could find money where I could get a buyout and develop a course just on libertarian thought. And so I was able to do that. And these are the books that we use for the class. And again, The Revolution by Ron Paul, that's the last book of the semester. And I really like The Market for Liberty by the Tannehills. And I'm very surprised. I never hear anybody talk about that book. It is a fantastic book. It reminds me a lot of Murray Rothbard. And that book is from 1970. It's fantastic. Okay. Now I'm teaching this semester a course called Culture and Society in the Age of Trump. And I just wanted to underscore the point that you can use libertarian theory in any of your courses. And considering what we're talking about this semester, I try to demonstrate to students that there's more than the one or two perspectives that they've been taught. And so when we're talking about current events or public policy, libertarianism comes up as another option. Aside from the classroom, I thought it was important to influence the curriculum at large. And so what I did was we now have a concentration in economics and industry. And this is actually one of my art students did this. These are the required courses right here. And if you look up to IEC, Industry Economics Concentration, those are the courses they take, and so they get to graduate with a degree in sociology and a concentration in industry and economics. All right, one of my favorite parts is working directly with students one-on-one, and I think when you're bringing libertarianism to campus, you should also get them off campus. And so I brought two students with me in 2015 to the Austrian Economics Conference, and they gave up their spring break in order to learn about libertarianism and Austrian economics, and I thought that was pretty cool. Also, I brought them the same year, a couple of students, to the Pennsylvania Sociological Association meetings, and students were encouraged to do research and create a poster, and the conference was on inequality. Again with the inequality, you know. And so my student did it on the inequality of the Federal Reserve, okay, and the consequences of that, all right? And what I did was I thought the poster came out so nice. That hangs up now in our lounge, our suite when you enter. So when you go to see all your professors, you're going to see this poster hanging up. Okay, I call these libertarian artifacts. I explained about the classes and the curriculum and the different things you can do with students. But I also think physical environment is important. Your physical environment speaks to people, especially as a sociologist, you know, symbolically what they mean. And so just some things I have up here. I have some Yao things. My student presenting the poster. My economics class. I got that Ronald Reagan poster. What am I going to do with the Ronald Reagan poster from one of my funders? Well, he was a sociology major. So I put that on my door, and I printed out this thing and cut it out. It says, I'm so glad I majored in sociology. And I'll talk about some of the other things. I also have here, do you recognize this? From the Austrian, what's the magazine the Mises Institute puts out?
The Austrian.
Yeah, okay. Right. This was Bob Murphy. I think it was an interview that you all had. And so this hangs up in our suite, so students get to see that. And then I should put it in color, but I also have Keynesian economics versus Austrian economics, so they can see the difference in visual form between the two. Another way to spread libertarian thought on campus is through speakers. And I have to admit, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better list of people who come to Lock Haven University. Sometimes I can't believe it. I can't believe they come. We're in the center of the state, so it's a little schlepping getting over there. But Dr. Mike Adams he gave a speech. It was on free speech, and it was a great speech. Dr. Walter Block talked about defending the undefendable. Julie Borowski on drugs. Jeff Deist on the limits of politics, free markets, peace, and voluntarism. And he had a hard gig because it was 2 days after the election. And I'm sort of thinking, okay, where's he going to go with this? But it was great and it was well received. Dinesh D'Souza, and obviously not all these people are libertarian, but I made sure their message was libertarian when they were coming to campus if they did not consider themselves libertarian. Because the big names are important, and it's also important for students to have a different perspective. Maybe Dinesh isn't 100% libertarian. He is on a lot of things. But they're hearing something conservative. And I will tell you, the faculty was not happy to have somebody so famous coming to the college campus. So what I did notice was the more famous the people are, the bigger to do the faculty make of it, which is really funny because some of the things that Dr. Walter Block was talking about, people would find really offensive, but they just didn't know, what they would consider extreme. Lawrence Vance came and Christina Hoff Summers. She gave a speech on the war on boys, and again, the feminists were upset. And, they could have been, I think, more polite when they were asking her questions. So I think this is a great list, but I also have some more. So David Horowitz, he gave a speech. I said, okay, what's the title of your speech? He said, identity politics are racist, okay, I don't have that word there, okay, and totalitarian. And I said to his assistant, can we, use another word besides racist, just so people don't get so offended. And his assistant said, yes. So I put the word in dangerous. Well, he got interviewed by the newspaper and he said, I want to talk about politics are racist and totalitarian in the newspaper. And he goes, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So I guess he was being a little flexible. I gave an open discussion with a computer science professor on why privacy matters and we basically talked about the NSA. He did the computer stuff, and I did the social implications. Dr. Murphy came twice, and he just came at the end of last semester, and he talked about economics of liberty and also healthcare. You might not be familiar with Cabot Phillips, but he's on Fox News, and he works for LI, the Leadership Institute, and he talked about liberal privilege, and students came. It was great. John Tamney, I actually discovered him through the Mises Institute through one of his videos, and he came and talked about the economic implications of Donald Trump's presidency. And last but not least, most recently was Nigel Farage, and he came and talked about the rise of populism. He came the week, it was the biggest week back in April when the vote was going to go through, and I cannot believe he came to Lock Haven University. It was just, he's just an amazing human being. So I feel so honored. Like, see what libertarianism brings you? I mean, it brings you grief too, but I'll talk about that in a minute. Okay. Here are just a couple of pictures that I wanted to show you. My students, Dr. Block, Dr. Summers, Dr. Murphy. This is my chair, and he messed up the picture. So I thought I'm going to use that in my presentation right there. Okay. So he'll be okay with that. Jeff Deist, and when Jeff came, and you can see here speaking and there's the crowd, we had so many people come that they had to sit on the floors and in the aisles. So that was over 220 people. I did want to show you Dinesh D'Souza. Over 330 people came for that talk. So people are thirsty for it. They want something different. Okay. And I think that's all I wanted to say about the photos. We usually take them out for dinner or, something afterwards. All right. I felt that Nigel Farage deserved his own slide. And the reason I picked these pictures, he is just an amazing person. If you look at him greeting, here's the chief of police, a couple of professors, a sweet student, some other students. He's so in the moment when he speaks to these students and these people. It's just unbelievable, something to really learn from. And he came in April, and it was a great speech. Okay, I should touch a little bit upon speakers on campus and some negative things that occur. It's additional work. Okay, thank you. It's a lot of work. And so typically clubs like ours will do a speaker once a semester. But I had some hotshots come in who just wanted to work. And so that's how we were able to get so many speakers in a short period of time. So it is a lot of work. It's not Vita building. You know, if I was going to apply for a job somewhere else outside of Lock Haven, I wouldn't be able to put this stuff on there. Okay. There's planning difficulties. Sometimes students don't show up. They don't do, you know, what they want to do. Most of the time they're good, but it is difficult sometimes. Also, every article in the newspaper, student newspaper, town newspaper, whenever somebody comes to campus, it's a controversial speaker. That's the word they use all the time when they in the newspapers. It's not that he's a different speaker. He's a libertarian speaker. He's controversial. Also, things like the university, they won't really do a press release. But there's nothing to stop my students from writing an article and submitting it to the school newspaper or the town newspaper. I can't stop them from doing that. But it would be nice if we had the extra help. And there are funding issues, and that's what I'll talk about right now. Okay, so this is some good information if you work at a university. Can you raise your hand if you work at a university? Anybody? Okay, I just have a couple here. Well, you can apply this to other organizations. A very good source is actually the clubs for the university. Okay, they get thousands of dollars depending on the clubs. You know, I'm sure some clubs that are more liberal would get more money, but this is a good source. The Leadership Institute is a great source. That's who gave me my release time on the conservative course. That's $10,000, okay? The Institute for Humane Studies, very good for bringing in speakers. They're a little bit selective. Young Americans Foundation has been wonderful. They're conservative, but there's a lot of, what do they call them? Conservatarians. And so I use them, like, for instance, Dr. Summers. She talked about the war on boys. That was a good speech and something good for my students to hear. And also private funding is another option. And so I'm going to wrap this up. Okay, I was playing with the PowerPoint. Okay, there we go. I did want to make, in spite of all of the difficulties, I did want to make the point that libertarianism is fun. We did a table on pro-gun, changed my mind. That went off really well, you can imagine, on a liberal campus. And this is funny. This is Dr. Walter Block, and the student brought her dad. And I remember she said, I was just hoping he wouldn't embarrass me. So I thought that was funny. There's David Horowitz. He does not go anywhere without a bodyguard. But you'll have to read his book, Radical Son, to figure out why. So I thought I should end with the future of libertarianism. And I have a quote by Rothbard because he was optimistic. He said, the libertarian creed finally offers the fulfillment of the best of the American past, along with the promise of a far better future. Libertarians are squarely in the great classical liberal tradition that built the United States and bestowed on us the American heritage of individual liberty, a peaceful foreign policy, a minimal government, and a free market economy. And so Rothbard was optimistic about the future. And I thought, let me take a picture from today. And this is a young man who was presenting at the Libertarian Conference. And I thought, that's the answer. That's where we're going. And I know the Mises Institute does that, to focus on young people, because they have plenty of time to be out in society and to make a difference. So because of that, that's an example of something the Mises Institute is doing. And I'm very thankful for all they do to promote libertarianism and to make the world a better place. Thank you.